So far this week, we have been looking at some of the power that is ours as the child of God, things that mean so much to us, things that are of the utmost value to us, and yet at times some of the things that we neglect the most. Monday night, you remember, we looked at the power of God's love for us. Last night, we looked at the power of prayer. And tonight, we're going to take it to something that's very closely related so far as our lives to prayer. There are two things that are very, very closely joined. It seems like if you find a person who neglects one, they'll neglect the other.
Right.
Remember we said at the outset that kind of the theme verse for this week was going to be 1 John 4:4, where it says, "Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world."
Amen.
What a promise. What a fact. What a reality. That I don't care what God leads us to do. There can't anybody stop us.
Right.
I don't care what the obstacles may be before us. You know, everybody here, every person in this room tonight that has any age on you at all, you have a past.
That's right.
You may have a past before God saved you that you're very ashamed of. Join the club.
Right,
but guess what? That was before God saved you.
Thank God.
After God saved you, you were are a new creature in Christ Jesus, right?
Right.
And it doesn't matter what people remember how you were. It doesn't matter what you did in the past. It doesn't matter what you've been guilty of. If God is behind it and if God leads you, nothing or no one can stop you.
Praise God.
Thank God for His marvelous power.
Amen.
Now, if you would, open your Bibles, please, to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. And we'll begin our reading tonight, and we'll look at just one verse, and that would be verse 12. Hebrews chapter 4, and looking at verse 12. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Let us pray. Dear kind and gracious Heavenly Father, as we come before You tonight, Lord, we're so very thankful for the privilege to be here in this house with Thy people. Lord, we're thankful to have sister churches that have come out to be with us tonight. And Lord, we do enjoy the fellowship very much. And Lord, as we look into this passage of Scripture this evening, cause us to understand what it is that You have left for us. Lord, may it not be just a decoration piece on a coffee table.
Yeah.
May it not be something on a bookshelf that we put there to try to impress someone. But Lord, may it be a walking, living, breathing part of who we are. Mm-hmm. Lord, may we apply this living book to us, to our hearts and lives. Mm-hmm. And dear Lord, what You'll do tonight, we'll thank You and praise You. Dear Lord, if there be one here tonight that's lost, Father, may they see this evening as we look into what Your word can do. Father, this would be the hour that You'd speak to their hearts and draw them to Yourself.
Amen.
Help that one that may be discouraged, O God.
Lord.
And what You'll do, we'll thank You for these things we do ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Throughout history, there have been individuals that have been gifted with the ability to say things and phrase things and write things down that are just beautiful to read, beautiful to hear. They can say things that will lift our spirits. They can paint pictures with words that are so clear, it's almost as though we can reach out and touch them or see them. But that being so, make no mistake whatsoever that there has never been, if you would combine all the words that have ever been written down by mankind, everything that's ever been said of an uplifting manner or even a spiritual matter, as they call them many times. Nothing at all is more powerful than the Word of God.
Amen.
Nothing can have the effect on a person's heart and life like the Word of God.
That's right.
Nothing can deal with a person and be, get inside that person like the Word of God.
That's right.
The powerful Word of God.
Amen.
That's what I want us to look at tonight. The power of God's Word. Philosophy, with all of its questions, with all of its ponderings and wonderings. I remember I read of a philosopher one time who his great brilliance deduced, he said, "Because I think, I am." Boy, that's brilliant, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
"Because I think, I exist." Man, that's deep. But philosophers and philosophy, with all of its questions, fails miserably when it's compared to the Word of God. It's not even in the same ballpark. Science, with all of its concepts and laws and rules and everything that applies to science, does not measure up in any way to the Word of God.
Right.
It cannot be compared.
Right.
If you would take all the great speakers, all the great orators from all time, and combine what they've said, and compare what has been said to us in the Word of God, they cannot compare.
Right.
They fall miserably short.
Amen.
We know that what we have before us is nothing other than the literal Word of Almighty God to His people.
Yes, sir.
What a blessing it is,
yes, sir,
to be able to have it.
Amen.
There has never been a person or a group of people whose words carry more authority than God's Word.
Right. Amen.
We realize and we know that it was by His Word, not somebody else's, but by His Word, that worlds came to be. Not through some great scientific metamorphosis that happened.
That's right.
Not that because out in the slime of the primordial ooze that something crawled out and life began to evolve. That's ridiculous. God spoke, it happened. Period.
That's right.
By the power and authority of Him.
Yeah.
It is His Word, and only His Word, that can lift up the heads of those who are bowed in sorrow. It is His Word that can soothe the heart of that one who's grieving so terribly, grieving with all their heart, can see no joy anywhere. God's Word can soothe them.
Amen.
Nobody else can. Oh, we try, don't we?
That's right.
We try to soothe them. We try to help them. We try to do what we can to lift their burden. But we can't do what God can do.
Amen.
And He speaks to us through His Word.
Thank you, Lord.
His Word shows us the ways that we should live. That we may not like from time to time, but it's there nonetheless.
Yeah.
There are no words spoken or written that have the same effect on somebody's life like the Word of God.
That's right.
We can see in the passage that we read tonight in Hebrews the potency of God's Word. There can be no doubt that the power of Almighty God's Word is unparalleled in all the universe.
Amen.
Unparalleled.
Mm-hmm.
We can see that it is described as being quick. Now that's not speaking about quick as speed, like a cat's quick or something like that. That's talking about being alive, right? Alive. Do you realize in all the books that you may have, you could go into and look around in the Library of Congress, all the volumes that are there, and the only living book that's there is the Word of God.
Amen. Yes, sir.
The only living book that you have.
Amen.
Is the Word of God. Now, if you want to say, well, how can I be sure of that fact? You can take a book that you enjoy reading, read through it once, a couple times maybe, By the third time you read it, it becomes somewhat boring because you know what's going to happen. It doesn't change. This book, you'll find something new every time you go through it.
That's right.
Not that it's just been added. We just haven't seen it before.
Right.
God will take a passage that we may have struggled with for so long, and all of a sudden we look at it and say, that's it! Why? God's Spirit has opened our understanding to this living book.
Amen.
Nothing can compare.
Right.
In no way, shape, or form. Because of this, we know that the Word of God is not just some made-up fairy tale. It's not just somebody's ideas about things. This is what God says.
Amen.
And that's the end of the matter. Right?
There is.
God says it.
Amen.
It's because of this the Bible has been able to stand the test of time.
Yes, it has.
I always go back to this, and it's amazing to me how much well-meant, well-thought-out ideas can completely change. What I mean is, when our son was born, they told us, under no circumstances whatsoever, were we to ever, ever, ever lay him on his back. He was to be put on his tummy. If he wouldn't lay on his tummy, we could take a towel and roll it up and kind of prop him up a little bit, but never put him on his back. Okay, fine. We had some friends of ours that were much younger than us that were going to have a child, and they were talking to them, and we relayed that and said, huh, they told us that you are never, ever under any circumstances to ever put a child on his tummy, put it on his back. Well, la-di-da. You hear that and you wonder, how did anybody ever survive? This book don't change.
That's right. Amen.
It's forever the same.
Thank you, Lord.
Ideas of man change. Sometimes people just learn as they go along, and their opinions will change on things. God's idea never changes.
Amen.
Matthew chapter 24 and verse 35 says, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass."
Amen.
What a promise! What a fact is there? Not only is God's word alive, but the power is unbelievable. And because of this fact, God's word will never be obsolete.
Amen.
It's always relevant to our day. His word is so powerful and so authoritative that angels move at his command. He tells them his will, they do it without question each and every time.
Amen.
Not only is the Word of God quick and powerful, but it's also sharper than any two-edged sword.
Thank you, Lord.
That tells us that God's Word will cut with precise, accurate, surgical precision, going in and coming out.
Amen.
It will lay open every excuse we think we have.
Amen.
It'll lay bare every lie that we put out. It will show us what we are.
That's right.
And makes no apologies for doing it.
Yeah, thank God.
What a powerful word that we have. His word reveals to us everything that we need to see about ourselves, even if we don't want to see it. And what we often miss is that we're not just to be hearers of the word, but we're supposed to be doers as well.
Amen.
Right?
Yes, right.
It's truly amazing to me just how many believers have access to this awesome power. Anytime they want it, as often as they want to see it, and yet fail to use it.
God help us.
Have you ever been around somebody that always liked to quote Grandma's Bible? Well, the Bible says something, and you say, what? Where does it say that? Well, I saw it. Where'd you see it? Well, it's in Grandma's Bible. Well, that's not always true, is it?
No.
We need to be sure what the Scripture says to us.
Amen.
Think about what we have with this precious Word. This wonderful book is a place, is a bed for us to rest upon.
Yes,
that we can depend upon. His word is a sure foundation.
Amen.
If we stand on the principles of this book, we don't have to take a back seat to anybody.
That's right.
We're sure. We're solid. We can depend on him.
Amen.
If thus saith the Lord, it's not going to change.
Yeah.
This book, his word, is bread to the hungry. If your soul is hungry, you can be fed through this book.
Amen.
If your soul is yearning, you can be satisfied with this book.
Amen.
If your soul is hurting, you can find solace in this book.
Amen.
It's all here for us right here.
Yes, sir.
His word is comfort to the lonely and hope to the hopeless. His word is rest to the weary when the way gets hard. And it doesn't seem like we can possibly put one more step out there. We cannot go another way. There's rest in God's word.
Yeah.
There's rest in the Lord. Even though all the winds of persecution have blown against it and attacked it, still, it remains. I read this, I'd read it a long time ago, then I looked it up again today. There was a French philosopher, you know how them great thinkers are, a French philosopher by the name of Voltaire. Now you've heard his name.
Yes.
He was a skeptic, if not an out-and-out atheist, who destroyed the faith of many folks. And he boasted one time that within 100 years of his death, the Bible would disappear from the face of the earth. Well, Voltaire died in the 1700s.
All right.
And the Bible's still here.
Amen.
And you want a little touch of irony? Some 50 years after his death, the Geneva Bible Society moved into his former home and used his printing presses to print thousands of Bibles.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
God cannot be defeated.
Absolutely.
It just cannot ever happen.
Yes.
Even though wave upon wave of immorality lashes out against the Word of God and makes it look as though if you stand on the Word, you're intolerant, you're mean, you're bigoted, and all those other things. Even though the atheists have done everything they can to destroy it, still it remains.
Amen.
And still it's true.
Absolutely.
And still the power is there.
Amen.
We need only to look into this wonderful book to see the reason why this is so.
Yeah.
In the beginning was the Word, before anything else was.
Yes, sir.
And the Word was with God, and the Word was God, the eternal existence.
Amen.
Of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The living Word.
Yeah, thank you, Lord.
And then later we're told the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us.
Mm-hmm.
They may doubt, they may question, they may ridicule. But Jesus Christ is the living Son of God.
Yes, He is.
And because of who He is and what we have here, all we are, all we'll ever be, all we ever accomplish in life is because of Him.
Thank you.
And nothing else.
Amen.
The greatness of the power of God can be found within the pages of this book. And all that He brought to us through His precious blood. If we want any part of the power of God upon our lives, then, beloved, we have to get into the Word of God.
It's true.
You're not going to get it any other way.
Right, it's true.
Sometimes it would be easier if you could, but it just doesn't work that way.
Right.
There are many today who say they want the power of God, who claim they want the power of God upon their lives, and yet they consistently and constantly neglect His Word.
Yeah. God help us.
They neglect it.
Amen.
The only way that you can have it. People are wanting to be an effective witness for the Lord, and yet they seem to forget the power of God's Word.
Amen.
Jeremiah chapter 23 verse 29 says, "Is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord?
Amen.
And like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces?"
There you go.
That's His Word, not man's,
right,
that can do that. The Word has the power to deal with the people that we're witnessing to.
Yes, sir.
You can be rest assured of one fact. If you witness to someone and they are receptive to what you say, it's because the Spirit of God has made their heart ready before you ever got there.
Amen.
That's the only way.
Right. Amen.
The field's ready. Right?
Yeah.
It's not because of your good looks, although I'm quite a specimen. It's not because of your magnificent talent. It's not because of how long you studied. It's not because of you at all.
That's right.
It's because of God.
Praise God.
And His Spirit preparing that heart, and then His Spirit using you.
Amen.
What a blessing it is to be used of God.
Amen.
You want to be used of God? Get into His book.
Dear boy.
And familiarize yourself with what it says. If we're ever going to gain the fullness of power in life and service, we must feed on the Word of God.
Amen.
There's no substitute for this food.
Amen.
Nothing else will do.
That's right.
If we'll not take the time to study the Bible, then we're simply not going to have power.
Amen.
Any more than a person will have physical strength without physical nourishment.
Right.
You can't have, you got to, if you want to have one, you have to have the other.
Amen.
It applies with Scripture. So,
amen.
With this all said, let's look at what some things God will do. God's Word, and only God's Word, has the power to convict of sin.
Yes, right. Amen.
The power to convict of sin.
Yeah.
If we go and start talking to someone about things in their life, most likely all you're going to do is offend them. But if the Spirit of God's behind it, they're going to listen.
Yeah.
Right?
Amen.
The Spirit of God is the only thing that can get inside of a person and cause them to see how they are and to see how they stand and to see their wretched state.
That's right.
Wretched state.
Amen.
To see themselves as totally lost and undone. To see themselves as hell-bound, hell-deserving. To understand that they have no hope, they have no direction, they're going through life totally aimlessly, spiritually.
Amen.
Like a ship without a rudder.
Yes, sir.
And they can see themselves as this depraved sinner that they really are. Was it not so with us?
That's right.
Sure it was. That's what God's Word does. Acts chapter 2 and verse 37, the Bible says, "Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do?" The Spirit of God had took their words and got inside their conscience and got inside of them and made them alive. And made them alive. They were quickened. They were convicted of their sin. There's never salvation without convicting.
That's right.
There's never salvation without repentance.
Yep.
But thank God, God grants both, right?
Sure. Thank you, Lord.
He's the one who grants both. If you look back into the Scripture, you'll find that what it was they heard that had produced such conviction was nothing more than the Word of God and nothing else. There are a lot of activities anymore that are attached to church services. And in and of themselves, they may not be necessarily bad. In and of themselves, they may even have a place in the services. However, whenever the preaching of God's Word is pushed to a secondary position, it's wrong.
That's right, preacher.
I don't care what it is. It's wrong.
Amen.
We gather in God's house first and foremost to hear this word proclaimed.
That's right.
Why? Because it's the only thing that will speak to the heart of an individual. It's the only thing that will quicken a dead sinner. It's the only one thing that will convict a sinner. It's the only thing that will draw a sinner.
Amen.
Why in the world would he want to tamper with that? So powerful is this blessed book.
Amen.
When we look into the scripture that Peter preached, it was scripture from beginning to end.
Yes, sir.
As he dealt with them that day.
Amen.
It was when the word of God was preached that the Spirit of God took it to their hearts. And their hearts were then stirred.
Amen.
Why? They were made alive. Not only that, God's word has the power to regenerate.
Yes, it does.
It would do us very little good let me try this again. It would do us very little good if the word of God would convict us and that was the end of it.
Yeah.
Didn't give us a way to be regenerated.
Amen.
Just left us in a state of knowing the shape we were in. That'd be miserable, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
My heavens. The word of God tells us what it can do. In James chapter 1 verse 18, of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures.
Yep.
1 Peter 1:23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever.
Amen.
You can take that to the bank, folks.
Yes, sir.
It lives and abides forever.
Thank you, Lord.
It will not change.
Yes, sir.
And its power will not be altered.
Amen.
In any way.
God bless you.
The simplest fact is that we absolutely have nothing to do with our regeneration.
Mm-hmm.
It's completely all of God.
Yeah.
And I'm glad it is, because if I messed with it, I'd mess it up. I'd fumble through it some way or other. But we don't have anything to do with it. It's from Him. It is when a person hears the Word of God. Now, I'm not talking about hearing it here. Think about it in our lives. We heard it here for a long time before we ever heard it here.
That's
most
right.
Likely. But when it goes past here, and you hear it here, inside you, in your heart, when that happens, the Spirit works it within your heart and convicts them of their sins, as we have already looked at.
Amen.
And shows them they're standing before God, as we've already said. And God then can regenerate, or we will regenerate, the heart.
Amen.
Absolutely. What a blessing. Now, we looked at some things last night to see just how simple it is. I can't break it down any more simply than that.
Right.
God does it all.
Yes, sir. Yes, He can. Amen.
It is through regeneration that we receive a new spirit, and through that, the impartation of God's nature. Now, am I saying we're running around this world as little gods? No, no, no. You know?
Mm-hmm.
There have been a few people in this world I come across, if I had a little bit of venti in him, I think I'd spark him in the backside with a lightning bolt once in a while. Just for the fun of it. But, you know, the reality is that part of the divine God's nature we have is His Spirit living inside of us. The blessed Holy Spirit guiding us. Think about it. The ultimate end, according to Paul, of predestination is that we are will be conformed to the image.
Amen.
Of His dear Son.
Amen.
Little by little, bit by bit, more and more the world's being chiseled away, and more the image of His dear Son is emerging in our lives. That's what we're talking about right here.
Yeah.
How we can find in the Scripture how that it happens. In 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust.
Amen.
We have been separated by God Almighty unto Himself.
Amen.
And that is a continual process. The Word of God is the seed, if you will, implanted into our heart where the divine nature springs up into our souls and enables us to live for Him. God's Word has the power to produce faith. To produce faith. You can't produce it. God's Word can.
Amen.
Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. What's that say? Faith comes by hearing the Word of God proclaimed. That's how.
Yes, sir.
That's what he says, right?
Amen. Right.
Listen, folks, if there's somebody here that's under the sound of my voice tonight that's lost, I don't know, I've had a burden all week for this.
Yes.
If there's somebody here that's lost, and I just think there is, to be honest, you may think, well, I'll get saved when I want to, or I may get saved tomorrow, or I'll get saved after a while. That's not for you to decide.
Amen.
It's not. If God is impressing your heart, now's the time. Today's the time.
Amen.
Not later.
Right.
Because you're wasting time.
Yeah.
Time that you could be serving God.
That's right.
Time that you could be rejoicing.
Amen.
Time that you could be thrilled inside at what God has done for you.
Yeah.
I've had people tell me, well, you don't know what I've done. I don't, and I don't care. I don't want to know what you've done. I can't do anything about it. If it makes you feel better to tell me, I'll listen as long as you want me to. But I'm sure not going to problem. Okay, now what did you do then? And then what did you say? Oh my, did you really do that? No. I will guarantee you. I will 100% guarantee you. And if you prove me wrong, you can have my wife and son both. You see how I did that? But if you can prove me wrong, I'll make it worth your while. But I will guarantee you, no matter what you've done, no matter how many times you may have did it,
yeah,
you're not so wicked you cannot be saved.
Right. That's the truth.
Think about King Manasseh.
Yeah.
The Bible refers to him as being one of the most wicked, that even his forefathers, he was more wicked than any of them.
That's right.
You know, he is responsible for having many of the prophets slain.
Yes, he was.
He was only out for himself. God brought him down, took him into captivity. And all wicked Manasseh, with all the sin that he was guilty of, and all the blood that was dripping from his hands, God Almighty saved him.
Amen.
By his marvelous grace.
Amen.
So don't let the devil tell you you're too bad to be saved.
Yeah.
It's a lie.
Yeah. Right.
It's a lie.
Amen.
He can. How do I know it? His word declares it. That's how.
Yeah.
How can I be saved? The Word of God shows us how. It's just, I don't know how more plain I can make it than that. It's all through God, and we're just His servants. A person will never get faith simply by praying. You know, you can go home and kneel beside your bed for, you know, hour upon hour and ask God to give you faith and please God grant me faith and Lord, I need more faith. You don't get it that way. You don't. His Word says faith comes by hearing, right?
Yeah.
You can't get it that way. You'll never gain faith by any effort of the will. You cannot get up and say, I'm determined, I'm going to have more faith by the time I get home tonight. Doesn't work like that either. You can't get it. Faith is not something that you can pump up any way that you want to. Faith is the result of a certain cause, a certain work in a person's life.
Amen.
And that cause is always the word of God proclaimed.
Amen.
Nothing else will do. Let's come back to this again. The word of God is what grants us saving faith.
Yes, sir.
Faith to believe.
Amen.
It's the word of God.
Yes, sir.
What are you talking about? Because through His Word, He lets me know that I can be saved.
Amen.
Through His Word. I can only speak definite about myself, but through His Word, He promised me I could be saved.
Amen.
He promised me if I would call on Him and ask Him to forgive me of all my sin, He would do it. He said He would do it.
Amen.
And I did. And God did. And my life's never been the same.
That's right.
Absolutely never been the same. And I wouldn't trade.
Amen.
I wouldn't trade a second of it.
Yeah.
For all the years before.
Amen.
I joke around with folks, some of the folks over home. You know, I'm not gifted with much. You know, I can build something and it never turns out right. And I can work on something, it always falls apart. You know? Preacher Hall had one, that Volkswagen Rabbit of his one time, a radiator hose burst on him, it was beside the road, so I got one. I was going to fix it for him. Got down there, put that radiator hose on his rabbit. He went down to the end of the cul-de-sac, turned around, and he come back, his hose was laying out there on the road. However, it's like the... like the fellow said in the scripture, though, this one thing I do. This is what I was born to do. This is my life.
Yeah, boy.
I would easier stop breathing than stop preaching.
Yeah. Amen.
Because it's who I am.
Amen.
And what made the difference? God Almighty in my life.
That's true.
And the joy of it.
Amen.
He will give you faith to believe. And that's what it takes.
Yep.
Faith, not believe here. We think about believing here. No, no. It has to be within you.
Amen.
Believing it in your heart.
Amen.
And where it's there. When Paul spoke to the Philippian jailer in Acts chapter 16 and verse 32, Scripture says, "And spake him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house." They didn't just tell him, "All you got to do is believe." You hear that today? "All you just believe. All you got to do is believe." You can't do it with just your determination. You can't do it with just, "That's what I'm going to start doing." It don't work that way.
Amen.
It has to get down inside you. And the Word of God is the only thing that can do it.
Yeah. Amen.
To tell somebody to just, all they have to do is believe, is leave them floundering in the dark and not giving them anything to believe in. Saving faith makes that difference.
Amen.
They gave the Philippian jailer what God had ordained for them to do and use. Secondly, oh, by the way, didn't I tell you I had 10 points tonight? Secondly, the Word of God has the power to build us up.
Oh, yeah.
The Word of God, not only does it have the power to give us saving faith, but it has the power to produce prevailing faith.
Amen.
In our lives.
Yeah.
Not only does faith come to us through the Word of God, but prevailing faith comes the same way. We know what God can do, and we depend on Him.
Yeah.
Prevailing faith is that which will direct us to God in prayer, knowing, not hoping, but knowing that God will take care of my needs. We touched on that, I believe it was last night. The only way that we have faith that prevails in prayer, faith to take our petitions to God in prayer, faith to believe that God will do for what I need to be done, is to study our Bible and know what He promises. Why is it when we hear some folks pray, they start praying about some of the wildest things out there? They don't know what God promised in His Word. This is what our prayers are to be based on. These promises that are here. Going back to what I said a few minutes ago. Remember the story that Jesus gave us, one of the most beautiful parables there are? The Pharisee and the publican?
Oh, yeah.
Remember that? After the Pharisee got through the publican who wouldn't so much as lift his eyes towards heaven. That's humility, isn't it?
Amen.
God, have mercy on me, a sinner.
Amen.
That's prevailing faith based on what the Scripture teaches.
Amen.
He promises He will forgive us if we'll but call to Him.
Amen.
The faith that gets victory over the world, the flesh, and the devil. The faith that will win the magnificent victories for God is also always through the Word and nothing else.
Amen.
The more we feed upon the Word, the stronger our faith will grow.
Amen.
And the stronger our faith will grow, the more mature we will become.
Praise God.
We are to have power. If we were to have power for God, then we have to have faith. God's Word is the power to cleanse. The Word of God has power not only to take impurity out of the heart. That happens through salvation, right?
Amen.
But it also has the power to cleanse the outward life as well. Now, I'm not talking about necessarily how a person's appearance is, though it may come into play at some point. But what I'm talking about is when your heart's clean, your life's going to be clean too.
Amen.
If your heart's clean, the way you talk is going to be clean as well.
Amen.
The places you go is going to be clean. The ways you act is going to be clean.
Amen.
By their fruits, ye shall know them. That's just another way of saying that. Think about ourselves, our outward appearances, just for a moment. If you want to keep your clothes clean, you have to keep your hands clean. Right?
Right? Yeah.
I tell you what, I can get a spot of grease on my hand and have it all over me in 5 minutes. I ain't never figured out how that happens. But if you have your hands clean, then you stand a fighting chance of keeping your clothes clean. This is very much what happens in our spiritual lives.
Yeah.
Ephesians chapter 5, verses 25 and 26. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it, that He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the Word, made clean, made presentable to God. The only way that we can have a clean spiritual life is to take the time to cleanse ourselves with the Word of God on a daily basis. Now, I'm not talking about saving ourselves. Well, that's already been taken care of. But if you want your life to be seen by others to be what it wants to be, if you want to have the power of God upon your neighbors, if you want to know how to handle the situations that spring up out of nowhere, the things that catch us unawares, then, beloved, we must have study and read the Word of God, not just on Sundays, not just on Wednesdays, but every day.
Amen.
Psalms 119, verse 9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. According to thy word.
Amen.
God's word has the power to build up. Acts chapter 20 and verse 32. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. So much said today, we hear people talking about character building. Well, I don't know about you, but I know enough. I have my no fair share of characters. I just know some regular folks. But talks about character building. And the world may have a good notion, but the fact of the matter is, the only way true character is built is to dig in the Word of God. That shows us how to live. Right?
Yes.
The practical things.
Amen.
I heard a preacher say years and years and years ago that we should never be so heavenly conscious that we're no earthly good.
Right.
And that's true, isn't it?
Yeah.
There's probably as much, maybe even a little more in this precious book that deals with our practical nuts and bolts daily living as there is out there in the cloud somewhere.
Yeah, sure.
How that we're true relate. The reason today that we have so many believers who are as shallow as they can be is because they neglect the Word of God.
Amen.
That's why.
Amen.
Why did Paul chide the church of Corinth? Because when it should have been on the meat, it was still on the milk. It was shallow in the Word of God.
Yeah.
He talked about how he had strong things that they needed to hear, but they weren't able to hear yet. Because they'd never gotten out of the shallow end of the pool, so to speak.
Right.
And got into where they needed to be.
Amen.
If a child is going to grow, that child must have wholesome, nutritious food and plenty of it. I'm going to say this in passing. I don't dabble in that stuff at all. But I tell you what, I'm sure glad that when I was going to school and eating hot lunch, Michelle Obama had nothing to do with it. Man, I wouldn't slop a hog with that stuff that they're making them kids eat now. 1 Peter 2:2. I won't charge you for that one. As newborn babies, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby. Desire it. Crave it. Want it. Can't get enough of it, that you'll grow.
Amen.
There's no way that a child of God can grow unless they feed frequently, regularly, and largely on the Word of God.
Yeah.
God's Word has the power to make us wise. There's more wisdom in the Bible than all the other works of mankind combined.
Amen.
That person who studies the Bible, even if they don't study any other book, will be the person who possesses true wisdom.
Absolutely.
That person will have the wisdom that the world so badly needs. The person who studies the Bible and neglects all other books will be far wiser than the person who studies all other books and neglects the Bible.
Amen.
There's no wisdom there.
Amen.
The person who studies the Bible is that person who will have more to say that is worth saying than any person who studies everything else and neglects the Bible.
Right.
Now, there are some people out there in this world who just like to, I think they just like to hear the sounds of their own voice.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Believe it or not, there have been people who said, I was that way. But, you know, I think they're generally people that, buddy, they just got something, they're expert on all things.
Oh, yeah.
And they're going to tell you everything you need to know about all things. And the more you listen to them, you find out they don't know anything about anything.
Right. Amen.
Listen to that person who can tell you what the Bible says.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Listen to that one who can talk to you about God meeting your needs.
Thank you, Lord.
Listen to that one who can tell you from the Bible how that you can be saved.
Yeah.
How that God can and will forgive you of your sins. Finally, and I'm just going to briefly touch on this, the tremendous daily help of the Word of God. God's Word has the power to give assurances to us of eternal life.
Amen.
1 John 5:13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God.
Amen.
How do we have assurance of the Word of eternal life? Is given to us in this book.
Amen.
He declares it. This is something that the world has no comprehension of at all.
That's exactly right.
Aren't you glad we have assurance?
Amen.
And since God gave it to us, we don't have to fear anything in that regard. God's Word has the power to bring peace into our hearts.
Mm-hmm.
Psalms 85 and verse 8.
Yep.
I will hear what God the Lord will speak, for He will speak peace unto His people and to His saints, but let them not turn again to folly.
Mm-hmm.
Peace in your heart.
Yep.
Man, that's a glorious thing.
Amen.
Peace in your soul.
Yes, sir.
That's a beautiful thing.
Amen.
A lot of folks today are looking for peace. A lot of folks today are longing for peace. They may even be praying for peace.
Mm-hmm.
However, that deep, abiding peace in your heart and soul comes only from God, and you can only get a sense of it from reading His Word as He talks about what He can do.
Amen.
My friend or friends, if you're lost, You can go home tonight and put your head on your pillow and have peace that you have no idea, have never experienced in your life.
Amen.
I remember the night I laid down to go to sleep after I was saved. I was like, wow, this is different.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that I was afraid to go to sleep before. But that night I knew that I had been.
Yeah.
I had no fear. I had perfect peace.
Amen. Praise God.
And man, that's something to make you want to shout, isn't it?
Yes. Amen.
And if you're here tonight and lost, you can enjoy that tonight as well.
Amen.
The power of peace. There are many places in the Scripture where we can find help to deal with anxiety in our souls. For example, the actual reality of Romans 8:28. If that would ever sink into our hearts,
amen,
and become a total reality with us,
right,
we would never be disturbed in our peace again. Oh, we may get angry, we may get disappointed, all those things. But our peace and our soul would not be disturbed.
Right.
Because we know that whatever happens is God's will and ultimately for my good.
Right.
And finally, God's Word has power to bring fulfillment of joy and bring patience, comfort, and hope.
Amen.
Jeremiah 15, verse 16. Thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart.
Amen.
For I am called by thy name, O Lord, God of hosts. Romans 15, and verse 4. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope.
Amen.
That beautiful word, hope. There can be no mistaking the fact that true joy comes to us from the Lord,
yeah,
not from the world. Jesus said in John 15, verse 11, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. There is no peace in this world to be found. There's no help or hope in worldly sources. You don't have to cleanse yourself or straighten yourself up or clean yourself in any way to come before God. Come to Him as you are.
Amen.
And God will take care of the rest.
Amen.
There's joy that in the child of God that just almost glows from His presence.
Amen.
And there's nothing that will make that joy burn brighter than to read and study the Word of God. Would you look at that? I found another page. God's Word has power to protect us from error and sin. You know, Paul said that he understood, it was through the law that he learned what sin was, right?
Yeah.
It's through God's Word that we learn what failure is. It's learned how we learn what power is, how we learn what we're to do.
Amen.
If you want to live a life pleasing before God, useful before God, get in this book.
Amen.
And stay in this
Amen.
Book.
Amen.
And dig and root in this book. It's the greatest, one of the greatest gifts outside of salvation and the person of Christ and His Spirit that we could ever possibly have. Utilize this wonderful, powerful book.
Amen.
And if there's someone lost, by the power of this book, I can promise you God can save you,
yeah,
if He's drawing you by His Spirit.
Amen.
Brother Stoniker.
I'm going to turn to page number 394.